Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ. We are starting a new series tonight, and tonight's more of an introduction to it than anything else. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time diving into Scripture tonight. We will look at a few, but not a lot. We're talking about facing life alone. And when you hear that phrase, there's a lot of things that might be running through your mind. Okay, who is it that's facing life alone? What people do we categorize into that, you know, facing life alone? And maybe you initially hear that phrase and think of different groups like those who are widows or a widower or those who have been divorced or maybe those who are single and have never been married. But I believe there's a lot of other groups that you could add into that in facing life alone. In fact, you may be married, but maybe only one of you is a Christian and the other isn't. And you feel like you're facing life alone because you're living almost two completely different lives. And you're trying to do what's right while your spouse could care less. Or couldn't care less? Could not care less. Let me get that right. Could not care less. And so so you struggle through that. And that could be facing life alone in that particular instance. Maybe your married relationship isn't what it ought to be. And it's like you are just living alone but sharing the same home. You see, there are groups of people that, and while they might be in a crowd, or they might be or seem to be the popular person, or they might seem to be that guy or that girl, and yet they feel utterly and completely alone. And so it might be those who are alone in the sense that they're living alone. There's no one in their house, and that's their life at this point in time. Or it could be that you might feel like you're surrounded by people, but you feel like you're facing life alone. Nobody understands. Nobody gets it. Why am I here? And so on and so forth. So this evening, I just simply want to present some information that I found while studying this topic and will lead us into some more biblical studies on the topic of facing life alone. First point that I want to look at is being alone, while the world may perceive it as the saddest thing in the world, it doesn't have to be the case. When I told Carly what my theme for the Sunday nights would be, she went online to search for a graphic and to discover, okay, is there some sort of graphic I can use that helps portray this fact. And she texted me back after, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes or so or longer looking at images, because she said, all of these are so depressing. She goes, you need to tell people it's okay. You know, it's okay that you're not married, or it's okay that your spouse died, or it's okay that you're living your life in this way. There's nothing wrong with that. And so just trying to encourage the fact that while the world may just look at it in these goggles and says, well, if you're not married, you're not this or you're not that, or if you're whatever, you've got to be so depressed. And so she really struggled to find some images, some graphics that would really help portray it not being a bad thing. Because when people hear that you're living alone or you're single or you're however you've chosen to live your life in that way, people automatically make judgments. But here's what some people said. A 55-year-old widower explained to his friends who kept trying to find a mate for him. He said, I appreciate your wanting to help me, but I don't want to get married again. My life isn't all roses, but I'm discovering a lot of advantages in being single. You know, he had lost his wife, but that didn't mean that it was the end of the world for him and that he had to find a spouse right away. I know my grandfather, who was married to my grandmother for a number of years, but she died when I was two. He was unmarried for maybe 13, 14 years. And then there was this woman that he had always had a relationship with. that, you know, a friendship with, and her husband had died, and it was just a, boy, we got this phone call. Grandpa says he's getting married, and we're like, whoa, what's going on, Grandpa? You know, we didn't even know you were dating. He goes, we don't got time. You know, so it was just a, you know, we can't let this thing go. So anyway, you know, it depends on your life and your circumstances and what's going on and what you're going through individually, and working through in your emotions and your faith and everything that's going into it. And so my encouragement is, don't feel like you've been pigeonholed by everyone else, even though that might be how you feel. It's okay to be where you are right now and to move forward in your growth and looking at being what God wants you to be. Similarly, Janice, who had never been married, told her parents, I know you would like me to be married, but I don't want it. Being single is a happy way of life for me. And that was her. That was okay for her. And sometimes we want people to live the way we want them to live, and trying to be the one that puts it on them. But we've been given free will by God, and we get to choose whether we live our life as a single person. We get to choose if we get married. The things that we don't necessarily get to choose is if a spouse dies, and that's where we found ourselves in this life. But there are advantages with being single or living or facing life alone. You can go and do pretty much whatever you want when you want, with the exception of maybe having enough money to do it or whatever those limitations might be. But you're not bound by what somebody else wants to do in the house. You get to go and do things that you've decided to do. You only have to worry about providing for yourself. You're not worried about a spouse or children. I know as our numbers in my household continued to grow, it was a big stress of, okay, you preachers don't normally get raises or even a living increase of living cost or anything like that. You know, sometimes it's you go and you have your interview and it's, well, we can pay you X amount of dollars. There's no bonuses there's no guarantee of a raise, you know, and it's just kind of, that's where you fall into. And so as your family is growing, you're thinking, okay, where's the congregation that maybe can just give me a raise by starting anew? You know, if I go somewhere that can pay more, because I can't live here anymore because of what's been going on. And so there's all kinds of different things that happen in our lives that we stress about. And sometimes as a growing family, the stresses become, okay, can I feed my family? Can I have health insurance? Can I do that? Whereas with a single person, you do have your stresses. You do have the things that you have to deal with. But at least it's just worrying about yourself and making sure that you yourself are taken care of, and you're not so focused on the responsibilities of multiple people. There might be some advantages to that. But you could go on about some many different advantages that you might have in living a single life and facing life alone in that sense. But you may feel quite differently. You might feel that facing life alone, being widowed, divorced, separated, or having never been married, and you may genuinely suffer from loneliness, stress, and frustration. And so, you know, what can I do to make my life fuller, happier, more complete? And isn't it wonderful that our theme for this year, as we've been talking about on Sunday mornings, is He Completes Me. And to remember that you're never truly alone. While the series may be titled Facing Life Alone, God is always there. And He is watching after you. He wants you to seek Him out. He wants you to depend upon Him. He says, cast your burdens on me. I'm here. Talk to me. Pray to me. Read the words that I've given you. If you would just turn to this place in your Bible and read what I've given, you could gain that strength. You could get that encouragement. He is there. What you may face may not be pleasant, as millions of people can testify. In many lands, there are more people that are single, divorced, or widowed than those who are married, especially the many women affected. It has been estimated that in the United States, 1 out of 6 women over the age of 21 is a widow. And elsewhere, the problem is even greater. There are areas where, by age 40, more than half of all women are widowed. In addition to the millions of widows and widowers, there are all the men and women who are now alone as a result of divorce. And so you see that there are many people facing these different difficulties in their life, struggling through it, either a choice that they've made or they've been hit with a life circumstance that they have no control over, but now have to do things on their own. From your own experience and observation in life, you may realize that the loneliness a person suffers is made worse by an ordeal that they face. And Dr. Holmes and his colleagues studied 43 life events that are associated with varying amounts of disruption in the average person's life. And here are the top three. And so these ones were found to be the most disruptive in a person's life. Number one, the death of one's mate. Number two, divorce. And then number three, marital separation. Then after having gone through one of these wrenching experiences, a person is confronted with the difficulties of those who face life alone. One widow put it this way: being a widow is like living in a country where nobody speaks your language, a country that considers you an untouchable. Let's just think for a moment about the things that some would have to face alone after one of these experiences: the loss of a spouse, divorce, or marital separation. Starting to face finances alone would be difficult. I remember taking a little bit of a finance class, and they talk about making sure that you and your spouse transfer off some of the duties so that you can both know what's going on with the finances, not so that you're fighting one another, but because if the one who's been taking care of the finances dies, now it's all on the person that has no idea what's in their checking account, no idea what's going on with their retirement plan, and now it's just, here it is, and I have no idea what's happening or what I should do. And there have been instances where that's happened, and they didn't even know how to write a check or what to do, and they needed family members to come in to help them. And I will say this, in Colorado, I guess it was about 3 or 4 years ago, they instituted a new law that for clergy members, doctors, psychiatrists, all kinds of people in that particular realm that in some way or fashion counsel or see people, like a police officer, anybody in that authoritative position, if they discovered an elderly person being taken advantage of by their son or their daughter, they've kind of fallen into being taken care of by this person, and what's happening is their son or daughter is stealing all their money, or maybe they are physically abusing them. And so it became a mandatory law. For instance, if I looked at someone in this congregation, or in the congregation where I was, and they were showing up with bruises, or it seemed like, it doesn't look like you're eating very well, or something's off or not right, and I had reason to believe their caretaker, whether it was a son or daughter or somebody else, is abusing them, I had to report it. Under the law, I had to report it. And so sometimes facing finances alone, while it can be difficult, there are other situations that might come up with that, because, well, I've never had to deal with this, well, I'll ask Johnny to help me, or I'll ask this person to help me. And then all of a sudden they're being taken advantage of. So there's a lot of different things that could happen within these spheres and in these specific things. Loneliness. The person who used to be there all the time is now gone. When you woke up in the morning, they were there. When you went to bed at night, they were there. And now all of a sudden, they're gone. And there is that loneliness that is there that you have to deal with. Possibly raising children on your own. Carly and I talk about this at random times, and she jokes, who's going to marry me if you die when I've got all this baggage? And it's going to be easier for you if I go first, because women love children. I don't know if they love my children. But we joke about it, but we also recognize that hey, raising children on your own would be a huge responsibility. No one can really, truly, completely understand your situation and everything you have to deal with. And there are people that have fallen into similar situations, that have encountered similar situations. And because of that, we are able to help one another and bear one another's burdens and encourage one another. But that doesn't mean that what they've had to deal with is exactly the same thing that you've had to deal with. And so we all have to face some of our own specific struggles. Holidays and birthdays, as they roll around with members that have been lost in the family, a spouse, just daily living becomes a struggle. You can't rely on this other person to help you anymore like you did before. Battling with a divorced spouse. When you think about a marriage relationship that's just fallen apart and there's now this divorce situation and there's even children involved and there's those struggles going on, and well, I want to raise the children this way, well, I want to do it this way, or I want nothing to do with it, it's all on you, or on and on it could go. When you think about those kinds of situations, the struggle that happens there and the battling that goes on between one spouse to another that have separated. I remember talking to my mom, and it's been a number of years ago, but my mom, just to so you know, she was married before my father. She had two children, my oldest brother Aaron and my older brother Amber. And she was happily married, and while her husband, Michael, was out on a dune buggy, that was what he liked to do on the weekends, they would build dune buggies and then go out to the sand dunes and ride them in California and have a good time. He had an accident in the dune buggy, and one of the pieces of it hit him in the head, and it killed him instantly. And so she, you know, here they were having a bunch of fun, and then all of a sudden, it's over. This marriage is completely over. And then a few years later, or a couple of years later, she met my father. He had a similar situation where his wife was killed instantly with a train accident, and they got together. Well, then sadly, when I was 7, they separated and went through that process of getting a divorce because of some things that my father had done. Now that I've aired my dirty laundry out there, get to the point here. I asked her, have you ever thought about getting married again? Have you ever thought about that? She said, you know, the one thing that I miss the most is just having a companion. Just somebody to go to the movies with. Just somebody to go and eat with, or to be able to go and shop with. Just to do something together rather than constantly being alone. And you know, while she has some of my siblings living in the home with her, it's not the same as having a companion that's there. That's a different situation. But that was her comment to me, is I just would like to have that friend, that companion that can go with me and do these things with me. And so maybe that's where you're at as well. As you're looking at this, you just, I want those friends, I want those people to be able to go with me and do things with me so I don't always have to be alone. There is some encouragement in Scripture. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Hebrew writer says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Now, there's a lot of things going on there contextually, but when you think about the fact that God says, I'm here. I will never desert you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you through the highs and the lows, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're in the greatest position in the world, whether you are in the worst position in the world, if you're happily married, if you're completely alone, whatever is going on in this world, God says, I'm with you. I am there with you. And please, stay faithful. Stay focused on me. Think about Joshua chapter 1. And again, this is contextually, they're going into the land of Canaan. They're going to conquer the land, right? Joshua is becoming the general of the Israelite army as they march into this land. And this is an encouragement to Joshua as he leads God's people. But he says, starting in verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn away from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." As God is speaking to Joshua, he reminds him, hey, stick with my word. Stick with my law. Stick with what I've given you. But he also says along with that what? I will be with you wherever you go. And no matter what situation you find yourself in today, the Lord will be with you. Amen. Wherever you go. Amen. Sometimes it might not feel that way. It feels like everyone has left. But I promise you, that's not who God is. He always fights against that idea in Scripture, constantly encouraging, focusing on the fact that He will be with His people. Be faithful to Him. Trust in Him. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will keep your paths straight." That was a verse of a Vacation Bible School from when I was a teenager. And I almost sing that every time I go to it and read it. But just the reminder of trusting in God. We find ourselves in difficult situations all the time. And it is easy to say, woe is me. But the encouragement and the wisdom that is found in Scripture is trust in God. Put your whole faith, your whole trust in Him. Be faithful. Keep moving forward. And as you look at the book of Revelation, those who are victorious will receive the crown of life. You see, this world was never promised to give us all the happiness that we desire. This world isn't going to give us everything we want. In fact, this world in many ways is going to beat us down. We find sadness. We find constant work, constant toil. We find struggles that are so crazy that we have to face at different times in our lives. God says there is rest at the end of it. And we're going to face temptations. We're going to face circumstances and situations that we may have never thought we had to deal with. But now here we are. What are we going to do? The encouragement that I see from the Scriptures is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in Him. Put your faith in Him. Live for Him each and every day. The other things you have to deal with, they will be there for now. But you can look forward to the day when you're with Him forevermore. And in Revelation, it talks about the fact that there are no tears. And He wipes away every tear.
Yes, sir.
And the glory of being with our Father.
Yes, sir.
For all eternity. It's something I can't completely comprehend. I don't think any of us can. But to recognize that there is finally a place to rest. Finally a place where I don't have to get up tomorrow morning and go through this all over again, whatever it may be. To find out that I am with Him forever is an amazing thing to me. And I hope that as you face the trials that this life brings, whether it's, as some look at it, facing life alone, trust in Him. He will guide you. He will lay out the path. His word is a lamp unto my feet. Follow it. He's guiding you. If you're here this evening and you've been following His word, you understand that salvation can be found in His Son, Jesus. And to get into His Son, you need to be baptized. You need to be immersed in water. And by doing that, you receive the forgiveness of your sins, and you begin to walk as a follower, as a disciple of Jesus. You are then a believer, and you proclaim His message to the world. If you're ready to do that this evening, the invitation's for you. And if you're needing any help or assistance or prayers, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.